running back steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
And it is Big Blue Kickoff here on this Thursday morning. So glad you could join us on Giants.com. John Schmelk a little bit under the weather, so myself and Paul DeTino will be taking you through the rest of the week. So glad you could join us this morning. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, as the Giants are right into the heart of the offseason. A relatively quiet week, but the Giants did re-sign David Carr, so they are adding to their depth at the quarterback position. They also have Curtis Painter to back up Eli Manning, so there'll be somewhat of a competition as they make their way towards OTAs and into training camp. Other than that, the Giants have made a number of moves this offseason. We'll at least review those moves. Want to hear your thoughts on what the Giants have done thus far, but also want to know, of the remaining free agents, who do you think is the biggest priority for the Giants to bring back? You still have Kevin Booth out there. They still need to make some decisions on the offensive line. And then there's Victor Cruz, who is a restricted free agent. Eli Manning was making the rounds yesterday. He was on ESPN Radio, was on WFAN, has been very vocal that he would like to see his number one target back in a big blue uniform. And I think that the Giants have made it clear that that is their number one priority. And this is the one thing that Giants fans need to take into consideration. The Giants have a big advantage when it comes to the negotiations with respect to Victor Cruz. Both parties will eventually meet the middle of the pack in terms of the numbers. But since he is a restricted free agent and they have a first-round tender out on him, any team that throws an offer the way of Victor Cruz needs to surrender a first-round pick. And the Giants don't have to do that. And a lot of top free agents are already off the board in terms of the wide receiver spot. So the market is dwindling a little bit. And that's why I think the Giants are in a very good position at the end of the day to bring Victor Cruz back. Whether it is a short-term deal or a long-term deal, the Giants are going to make sure that they can do everything they can to bring him back into the fold. Because remember, Akiem Nix is going to be a free agent after this season. Then there's the contract talks with Jason Pierre-Paul. The Giants can't approach this offseason as the only offseason. They've got years coming up where they need to lock up other players. So that's why the finances are very tricky. And a lot of Giants fans are a bit nervous because Victor Cruz hasn't been locked up yet, but it's still very early in the game. And any team that wants to throw an offer the way of Victor Cruz has only until April 19th to do that. And April 19th is right around the corner. If they don't throw an offer sheet the way of Victor Cruz, his only option is to basically return to the Giants. So that's why I think right now things are looking good with respect to the Giants bringing back Victor Cruz. Whether it's long-term or short-term remains to be seen. But the fact that Eli Manning and company want him back in the mix, I would assume that they are going to do everything they can to make sure that they finalize something in the coming weeks or in the coming months. Because OTAs are going to be here before you know it, and Victor Cruz is not the type of player that would hold out, given his track record and given his level of production with this team. So that is pretty much the priority moving forward. And then clearly trying to decipher what they want to do with respect to the offensive line. They did re-sign Will Beatty, which was probably one of their top targets heading into the offseason, given that he will help protect Eli Manning's blind side. But they need to determine what they want to do on the right side, specifically at that right tackle spot, with respect to David Deal, and then Kevin Booth at the guard spot. And Booth has so much versatility that he brings to the table because he could play multiple positions on the offensive line. And if they don't bring him back, then you clearly have a hole that you need to fill. Now, the offensive line, dating back to last season, has had mixed results. I think in terms of protecting Eli Manning, it's been pretty steady, but the running game has not been where it should be over the last couple of years. There hasn't been that semblance of a power running game with respect to the Giants, and that is something that they would like to bring back to the forefront this season. They've done that by making sure that they have a good rotation with respect to the running backs, but as you know, the running game starts and ends with the offensive line. That's where you need to set the tempo. And the Giants are making that a priority this year to make sure that not only that they have consistency there with their starting five, but also some depth. And they are going to clearly continue to explore the market. You have a couple of free agents that are still out there, but remember, it's a numbers game. Just because there's an attractive player out there doesn't mean that he can fit within the scheme and also the finances that the Giants are looking at right now. Now, every team doesn't have the same cap, and the cap did not increase for the second straight season. Perhaps that will change in years to come. So that means you're restricted in terms of how much money you can throw the way of players. And there's been a lot of chatter on Twitter, throughout other social media venues, sports talk radio. You know, the Giants haven't necessarily made a big splashy move. But when you look at what they've done, they've brought in good complementary players that can help balance out the roster and also make an impact. Take, for example, Brandon Myers. You know, they lose Martellus Bennett to the Bears. They bring Brandon Myers in last season, who was with the Raiders, who had 79 receptions. Now, the tight end spot is not a position that the Giants look to put up big numbers on offense because of all of the weapons that they have at the wide receiver spot and in the running game. But just think about it. If Victor Cruz comes back and they're able to lock him up, Akeem Nicks is fully healthy, the attention that those two will draw, and then you bring Brandon Myers into the fold, who has proven that he can be a weapon down the field and can also be a consistent blocker at the line. Think about the level of production that can either increase or get better at that tight end spot. Now, Martellus Bennett was a great weapon that they had. Started off real hot last season when he had three straight games with a touchdown. Clearly, the knee injury inhibited his production moving forward. But I think Brandon Myers should be able to pick up where Martellus Bennett left off. Number one when it comes to the tight end with respect to the Giants is you got to be able to protect the quarterback. You have to be able to block. You have to be able to open up the holes for the running game. It's an added bonus what the tight end can bring to the table from a reception standpoint. I think Brandon Myers can give them that. The other impressive signing for the Giants was bringing in Lewis Murphy, who is also a former Raider, was with the Carolina Panthers. Victor Cruz and Lewis Murphy on the field at the same time, I'll leave it at this. Good luck to those defensive backs that need to slow down those two. Murphy has had trouble staying healthy over the last couple of seasons, but he brings that dynamic speed factor. And we know what Victor Cruz could bring to the table. So if those two are on this field at the same time, you know, they can really stretch things so that it can open up the underneath routes and perhaps even open up things in the middle of the field. So the Giants right now, you know, they haven't necessarily brought in a big name. But that's not necessarily how you have success in free agency. Look at the Eagles last couple of seasons. That whole dream team theme that they were trying to work with. It doesn't always work that way. You need to bring in players that, number one, work from a financial standpoint, and number two, fit into your scheme. And given the fact that Dominic Hickson is a free agent, Ramsey Barden is a free agent, the Giants needed that third complementary wide receiver who you hope to get some consistency out of. And I think Lewis Murphy can bring that to the table. They address the tight end spot by filling in the void left behind by Martellus Bennett. And you also have Adrian Robinson still in the mix, who they're going to continue to groom, the rookie from last year. So moving forward, where do the Giants go? The draft is around the corner. Clearly, the linebacker spot, I think, is an area that they don't necessarily need to add bodies for the sake of adding bodies. They've done that through free agency with Dan Connor. But you want to bring in somebody either from a youth perspective that you can continue to groom or another veteran to add some depth. Now, Chase Blackburn is one of their remaining free agents. They may wait and see whether or not he is able to get some other offers. But Blackburn is a guy that in seasons prior they've brought back late in the game, given the fact that he knows the system. And that would explain why you bring a guy back like an Aaron Ross to add depth to the secondary, but also a guy who knows the system. And the Giants have had success, whether it be at the beginning of the year in training camp or middle of the year where they've brought back defensive players who are familiar with Perry Fuel and his scheme, and the reason they are able to make an immediate impact is because Fuel is able to utilize them at positions that they're used to being put into, as opposed to bringing in a rookie or another free agent who has not had experience under this scheme. There's an adjustment period that you need, and it may take 2 to 3 games to become acclimated with the system. You don't have to worry about that with respect to guys like Aaron Ross and Chase Blackburn. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. We're going to open up the phone lines, and we start with Jeff in New Jersey. Jeff, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff. How's everything?
Everything's fine. How are you today?
Doing well, Jeff. What you got?
I was just curious, what's the situation with Cruz? I hear a lot of talk about them trying to trade Cruz.
Well, I mean, I don't know where you've heard that speculation in terms of them trying to trade him. First of all, you need to re-sign him in order to be able to trade him.
Yeah, not re-sign him. That's what I meant, not re-sign him.
To re-sign him. Well, clearly the negotiations are continuing. They've been going on since the start of the offseason. And the bottom line right now is for both sides to find a number that they're both comfortable with. You know, Victor Cruz, from his perspective, Jeff, he's looking at some of the other contracts that have been handed out recently, such as the Mike Wallaces of the world, the former Steelers receiver who went to the Dolphins, Wes Welker, who got a 2-year deal with the Broncos for about $6 million a year. You know, he and his agent, they're looking at the market, and they're seeing, well, if these guys got this type of money, I think I'm even at that level, or I'm more valuable than that level. That's what he's bringing to the table. Whereas the Giants are saying to themselves, we need to find a number that's going to work for this season and for seasons forthcoming. You know, Hakeem Nicks is a free agent next year. If you lock up everybody else, how are you going to have the finances to negotiate with Hakeem Nicks? You don't want him to walk. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent next season. And then there's Jason Pierre-Paul, who you also want to lock up long term. So, you know, it's easy to say the Giants need to bring back Victor Cruz, but it's a whole other thing to say, well, the Giants should bring back Victor Cruz and also sacrifice some financial flexibility moving forward. So that's the balancing act that the Giants need to look at from this perspective. But to give you the latest update, right now negotiations are continuing, but, you know, the Giants, like any other team, they're not going to constantly give an update as to where the status of those negotiations remains.
Okay.
All right, Jeff, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. And clearly, Jeff, like many other Giants fans, I understand where Giants fans are coming from. You know, you get anxious at this point. About 2 to 3 weeks into free agency, and the Giants' top playmaker is still technically on the market. And as I mentioned when I opened up the show, he's a restricted free agent. So you have that security blanket. You have the first-round tender that you've offered Victor Cruz. So any team that makes him an offer or eventually signs him, hypothetically, would have to surrender a first-round pick. So not only do you have to lock him up long-term with a contract, but you also need to give up a top draft pick. I don't know right now if there's a lot of teams on the market that are willing to do that, considering that some of the top wide receivers have already been signed. Greg Jennings is another guy that I'll throw out there, who went to the Minnesota Vikings. He's staying within the NFC North. So at this point, you have to say to yourself, what other teams are in need of a wide receiver, and what other teams have the financial flexibility to go out and make an offer to Victor Cruz? I don't know right now if there's a lot of teams that you can throw into the mix. You know, the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay, their owner, he's been very vocal through Twitter, if you follow him or you follow the NFL, about that they have been showing an interest in a wide receiver, but he has downplayed rumors that they are interested in Victor Cruz. And no other team has vocally shown anything through the media that they're going to make a move for Victor Cruz. Now, that doesn't mean that a team is not going to come in last minute and be aggressive. But at this point, the Giants are the aggressors. And the reason they are the aggressors is because they are in a position to say to Victor Cruz, listen, you are comfortable here in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. You have ties to this area. You have endorsement opportunities in this area. You have good chemistry with Eli Manning. Let's continue to build off of what you've already started over the last couple of seasons. And I think Victor Cruz has expressed that through the media and to the team. It's just a matter, at the end of the day, what number will make both parties happy. Easier said than done sometimes. That's the part of negotiations when it comes to the NFL. But April 19th is the key date to circle on your calendars. Because once April 19th passes, teams can no longer make offers to Victor Cruz. So we're talking about only a couple of weeks for Victor Cruz to go out on the market and see what he can get. April 19th passes, then it becomes, okay, let's sit down with the Giants and let's hammer something out so we can move forward, OTAs, mini camps, and get things ready for the start of the season. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Want to hear your thoughts on whether it be Victor Cruz or any of the other remaining Giants free agents. Who do you feel at this point is a big priority for the Giants to make sure that they bring back onto the roster as they get ready to prepare for the upcoming season? Or who have you been pleased with that the Giants have brought in already? They've made a number of moves. I've thrown some of the names out there. Dan Connor at the linebacker spot, Brandon Myers, the tight end, Lewis Murphy at the wide receiver spot. And how about the Cullen Jenkins signing, who really, to me, tops the list at this point, given his versatility. He's played in the 3-4 scheme. He's played in the 4-3 scheme. He's played defensive end. He's played defensive tackle. He's a winner in terms of what he was able to help the Green Bay Packers do a couple of seasons, and he's familiar with the division. So they bring him into the forefront, and he adds depth to the line. So I think Cullen Jenkins is a perfect fit for this Perry Fuel system, and I'm really anxious to see how he will fit into the scheme and what type of an impact he will make. Because he has proven that he has a knack to get to the quarterback, and he has a knack to stop the run. Two issues that you would say are big priorities for the Giants to help shore up coming into this offseason. Because of their inability to stop the run last season and their inconsistencies in terms of getting to the quarterback. That's what's going to get this defense back online heading into this coming year. Can they get to the quarterback like they did in seasons prior? And will running backs go up against them and have limited holes? Because running backs had field days all of last season. And because of those two issues, that's why the secondary had mixed results last season. Things go hand in hand. You don't get to the quarterback, you're going to leave your secondary out to dry. So I think if they can get to the quarterback this season with some of the additions that they already brought into the mix, the success rate of the secondary should therefore increase. So that is something to certainly keep close tabs on as these players start to work out and become acclimated to the scheme. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Nino in New Jersey. Nino, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? I was wondering, I haven't heard nothing about Ochi yet. Anybody trying to pick him up or if the Giants are trying to do anything?
I think it's a wait-and-see approach at this point, Nino, with respect to O.C. Umanyora. Right now, he's testing the market. I know there was a report out yesterday that he was meeting with the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of outlets had thrown that out there. A couple other teams have reportedly shown some interest. Whether or not he returns to the Giants, it's a money numbers game at this point. I think right now he's going to try to go out there and get the best offer that he can. And if that means that the Giants need to move on, I think based on the moves that they've made so far, they're preparing for that. However, if OC can't find a better offer and he feels that he still would like to stay with the Giants, if the numbers match, perhaps he's a guy that they can bring back and add some depth to the defensive line. But I think that the Giants, based on the moves that they've made, are prepared to part ways with OC if that's how the offseason plays out.
All right.
All right, Nino, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Try to keep up with some of the comments that you throw out there on social media in case you don't have an opportunity to chime in on the phones. But in the meantime, let's get back to the lines. We've got Chris in Pennsylvania. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
How we doing, Chris?
Hey, what's going on?
Doing all right,
pretty good. Yeah, I pretty much agree with what you said about the free agency moves initially. You know, a lot of people weren't, you know, really pushing out the Giants saying they were making big free agent moves, but we bolstered the areas that we were weak in, specifically who you said, Cullen Jenkins. You know, that front four, I love the move. You know, he like you said, he's a winner. He knows how to win. He's a vocal leader. He's passionate about his profession, and he's going to make big moves for us. But I still think right now we still have some moves to make with the offensive line. But I tell you what, I think the guys that we need already have Giants uniforms on. You know, Sean Locklear, Kevin Booth. I really like those guys. And thinking back to last year, when Beal was out and Bradshaw was out, those were almost our two best games for running when Andre Brown went off for 200 yards. And we had Locklear in and Booth in, and, you know, we had reorganized the line. That was the most solid line we had all year. I don't believe they gave up any sacks while Deal was out, you know. And the Giants are under the philosophy, you know, you definitely don't lose your job to injury, which, you know, I respect that. But I think they need to take a look at that reconfiguration that worked so well last year, especially with Andre Brown in the backfield again.
And that's something, Chris, that they're continuing to explore. And I think you brought up a great point, because the timing of the Locklear injury and then how the Giants performed towards the later stages of the season, that's no coincidence. They lost him in that Redskins game the second time around. And then clearly from that point on, the running game was up and down and the offensive line struggled a bit, even in pass protection. So Locklear was extremely important to their game plan because they can move him and mix him and match him on both sides of the line. You need a guy. You need that swing tackle where you can bring him in as an extra offensive lineman because he helps in pass protection and he also helps open up holes in the running game.
Absolutely. If you got a minute, I'd like to talk about the top of the crown rule as well.
Sure. What you got?
You know, I like the rule, but I think both, I like the spirit of the rule, but I think both the helmet to helmet and the top of the crown rule should be punitive after the fact, meaning these should be under review to say, okay, this was definitely an intentional hit, or no, this was a bang-bang play. There was nothing the player can do about this, because they're putting way too much pressure on the refs. And the one play that I'm thinking of is the Jets game 2 years ago when they were making their Super Bowl run, and Ahmad Bradshaw, I forget who the D-back, he blew through him to go into the end zone.
Rodney Poole, like, I believe that's who it was. Yeah, Rodney Poole.
He got embarrassed, but that would have been a 15-yard penalty. We could have potentially lost that game because of that penalty, not made the playoffs, not won the Super Bowl. And that's what I'm afraid of going forward, is that these referees who are, you know, so concerned with making the right call are just going to be throwing flags like crazy. And, you know, they're going to be calling these, you know, artificial helmet-to-helmet or top of the crown. We've already seen poor calls on helmet-to-helmet already last year. So if this could be a reviewable play at the very least, I think it would really make – at least put a lot of the players' minds at ease that this isn't going to affect the game the way everybody's assuming it's going to affect the game.
Hey, Chris, appreciate the phone call and appreciate you joining in on the conversation specifically on that topic, as that was the big news, at least from a big NFL perspective yesterday, the fact that the owners down in the meetings in Arizona decided to make a couple of rule changes, and one of which, in case you're not familiar with the rule that Chris just brought out to the forefront, was that running backs, all offensive players, I should say, can no longer really put down the crown of their helmet and barrel their way through defenders. That is going to be a penalty, and it's going to be a penalty right on the spot for 15 yards, as opposed to what Chris is saying, let it maybe happen during the course of the game, review the tape, and then on the following week, issue fines or penalties. At this point, it's in the stages where they're going to toy with it throughout the course of this season, and it will be interesting because what Chris just brought up, you know, first of all, NFL games are long as they are, but now if you're adding more opportunities for officials to throw flags, we may be sitting in front of the television or at stadiums a little bit longer. So that, to me, is a troubling aspect just from that perspective. But remember, the NFL entering this offseason is trying to find the balance between competition and safety. And this was a move that was made to help protect football players. That is their primary goal. Whether or not it serves that purpose will remain to be seen in terms of how the season plays out. There are a lot of running backs, though, I can tell you already vocally, that are not very pleased with this rule. Ahmad Bradshaw, not one of them who has vocalized his feelings, but Chris brought up that example where he barreled his way through Rodney Poole of the Jets, laid him out, and was able to make a big impact play for the Giants in their Super Bowl run. And there are plenty of other power running backs who use the crowns of their helmets to make an impact moving forward. It's all going to be based on the interpretation of the officials, just like most any other rules in the NFL. It's all about what they see on the field, what they see on paper, and they've got to put two and two together and determine whether or not it should be a penalty or whether or not it was a legal hit. You know, the NFL is stepping things up because of concussions. It's a whole new period of the NFL. A lot of you who have followed the game for years, we've come a long way. You know, they are not letting the flexibility of the players dictate the tempo of this league. The owners are stepping in and saying, we need to make the impact and we need to protect players from themselves. This is going to be a litmus test this season. Will it be effective, or are they being too overprotective? I think that the players will see how things play out, and then probably at the end of the year, the Players Association and the owners will probably continue conversations and determine, do they want to continue to implement rules like this, or is it time to take a step back and let the players play? But at this point, safety is going to take over the enjoyment of the competition. And whether or not that's a good or a bad thing remains to be seen. I know a lot of fans and a lot of players have their own respective opinions on this topic. But right now, it's too early to tell what type of an impact this is going to have on the game until we at least see a preseason game or two. I mean, you could look at a rule on paper, you could break it down left or right. But until we see how the officials interpret it, then we're going to know. I mean, look at the tuck rule, for example. That was in play for a number of seasons, and now they've eliminated it. So the league has shown that they have put rules into play, and then after maybe 5 or 6 years, they determine it doesn't benefit the game. This could be one of them. 201-939-4513. We go to Mike in Long Island. Mike, what's happening?
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Doing well, Mike. What you got?
Okay. The way I evaluate things right now in the NFL, it seems to me that the Giants need a specialist. The specialist is someone that's completely divorced from the players, meaning they have no friendship whatsoever with any of these players, and someone that evaluates free agency value. For instance, right now, Jerry Reese, I'm sure, is in charge of free agency, who he picks, who he keeps, etc. I don't think he's the right person for the job. And I'll give you an example. Corey Webster. The man had a rating of one of the worst cornerbacks in the league last year. It was minus 11.3. One of the worst. He gave up almost 1,000 yards in receiving and 8 touchdowns. To keep this guy for over $4 million is asinine. It's ridiculous. The man is making decisions based upon his heart because he knows this guy.
Well, Mike,
versus getting someone of value that can do a better job. There were a lot of cornerbacks that were in free agency that are a lot better than him for a lot less money.
Well, like who? Mike, throw out a couple of names, though, Mike. I'm curious who you think would be a better option at this point than Corey Webster.
Well, give me an example.
Sure.
What about the guy that the Patriots signed, Talib? You don't think they could have made an effort to get this guy for around the same money that they're paying Webster right now? He's much better.
Well, keep Talib number one, re-signed with the Patriots because he was traded from the Bucs.
There was a point the Giants didn't even make an attempt.
Oh, Aqib Talib, though, it wasn't as if Aqib Talib, though, came cheap to the New England Patriots. His value was high based on his performance in the playoffs.
Well, whatever, he signed for $5 million, which is right around what Corey – what is Corey getting, over $4
million? Oh, Corey Webster also.
What about the guy that signed with the Kansas City Chiefs, Sean Smith?
Sean Smith also got –
He signed for under $3 million.
That's all about, though, how these guys fit into the system, remember. You know, just because they're making an impact elsewhere doesn't mean that they're the right fit for the New York Giants. You have to understand that.
Yeah, but I know the fit they got right now gave up almost 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns this past season.
But, Mike, also take into consideration this. Did the Giants consistently get to the quarterback last season?
I understand.
So if you're not getting a consistent pass rush, Mike.
You can't just concentrate on just one aspect. You got to fix all the aspects of the team.
And listen,
right now the cornerback is an issue that the Giants have to address.
And, Mike, I don't disagree with you, and I'm not going to sit here and defend Corey Webster. He had, based on the numbers, a very rough season compared to what he was able to produce in seasons prior. I agree wholeheartedly with that point. But Corey Webster knows the system, and based on what the Giants have on the roster, to me, Corey Webster is still the best option. Prince Amukamara finally played a whole season, but it's still a learning curve. Jayron Hosley just finished a rookie campaign. He's also learning. Justin Tryon's not necessarily a long-term answer. They used guys to fill in for injuries. So Corey Webster is your only sign of consistency on the team, and he's your only veteran presence. So if you remove Corey Webster and you don't get the Aqib Talibs or the Sean Smiths of the world, there's no better option than Corey Webster at this point. So I think what the Giants were looking at heading into this offseason, and I appreciate the phone call, Mike, was that Webster, the fact that he reportedly, and the Giants don't make any statements regarding contractual situations, and I'm not going to speak for the team, but he was able to reportedly take a pay cut so that he was able to stay with the team, made a sacrifice so that they had some flexibility to target other players, and it's going to be a bounce-back season for Corey Webster. He still needs to prove that long-term he should hang around with this Giants team, just like a lot of other defensive players. But to say that the Giants should have went out and spent money on a big-name free agent just because Corey Webster had a rough season, that's not smart from a financial perspective. And I use the Philadelphia Eagles as the perfect example. Not necessarily this offseason, but in seasons prior. They brought in guys that had the name. They had the notoriety. They didn't necessarily fit into the system. And if we're going to sit here and nickel and dime saying Aqib Talib got this amount of money, Corey Webster took this amount of pay cut. Listen, Webster knows the system. I'd rather have a guy that knows the system, has a comfort level with Perry Fuel, than bring in a guy, whether he's a veteran or a rookie, he's going to need some type of an adjustment period. As Sean Smith, who we threw out there, a big corner, very productive with the Miami Dolphins. Aqib Talib, also a productive corner. That doesn't mean that they fit into the Giants system. And I'm not going to second guess Jerry Reese in terms of the moves that he makes, because Jerry Reese also needs to work within the financial constraints of the salary cap. In a perfect world, you know, we look at all the free agents and we say, boy, it'd be great if the Giants could just pluck every name out there and just put them into the roster, and then they can have a Pro Bowl roster here. But it's easier said than done. Guys need to work within the finances. And the Giants didn't have a lot of cap space entering this offseason to begin with. Because if that was the case, then they wouldn't have sacrificed Ahmad Bradshaw. They wouldn't have sacrificed Chris Canty. And they wouldn't have sacrificed Michael Boley. They didn't get rid of these players just for the sake of getting rid of them. They got rid of them because they needed financial flexibility to target other players. All right, we're running short on time, but I want to try to get to a couple of more calls. Let's go to Dave in Rochester. Dave, what's happening?
What's up, baby? Welcome back.
Thanks, Dave. What's going on? How's everything?
Hey, man. I just wanted to, I missed the first couple minutes of the show, and I heard Eli's name, and I hope I'm not re-talking about what you guys talked about earlier. But I don't know if you saw, we talked about it a couple weeks ago with Johnny about reconstructing Eli's contract, and he was on Mike and Mike yesterday saying that he's down for it. He's ready to do it. Do you see the Giants, you know, addressing this year, getting, you know, I know we speculated before, but now Eli's saying, hey, I'm ready to do this. Do we see the Giants attacking this right away to maybe get Cruz going this year, or do we wait for next year for Eli to do this?
Dave, to be honest with you, I think the team is exploring all of their options. And if Eli Manning has put that out there publicly and they feel that they need a little bit more wiggle room, they'll approach Eli Manning. If they need more wiggle room down the road, I think that they'll certainly approach Eli Manning. The benefit, I think, right now, and this is another thing that maybe most Giants fans are unaware of, Victor Cruz changed agents. He now has the same agent as Eli Manning. So if there's any guy that you want to negotiate with respect to Victor Cruz, it's Eli Manning's agent. Because if Eli Manning is willing to make some sacrifices financially, they're talking to the right guy. So I think at this point, as the negotiations continue, that could be potentially on the table. But as to whether or not there's a sense of urgency to restructure Eli Manning's contract, I mean, that's all speculation at this point.
I mean, I'm seeing numbers of Eli numbers contributing to about 21 million to the cap this year.
That's correct.
That's huge.
It is.
Wow.
It's a lot of money. But, you know, listen, Eli Manning has produced and he's shown the results over the last couple of seasons, and that's why they rewarded him financially. But I think it, you know, speaks volumes about the quarterback of this team that publicly he has made it vocal that he's willing to restructure his contract. Whether or not he's made that vocal behind closed doors, I can't speak to that. But I think that if the Giants feel they need some more wiggle room to re-sign Victor Cruz, I don't see why they would hesitate in approaching Eli Manning and saying, okay, let's maybe tweak your numbers to give us some more flexibility.
Well, that's pretty much what it is. It's tweaking, because with the Brady situation, even though he's only making $8 million this year, he's still getting the same amount of money. It's just over an extended certain, you know, period of time. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Well, listen, the way the salary cap works, Dave, it's so convoluted and complicated that you need an expert to come in just to explain it. But you can move money into a signing bonus, and a signing bonus doesn't necessarily count against the cap. So there's ways that you can work the system so that you're not in a situation that you put yourself maybe over the cap. And those are things that I'm sure the Giants are trying to explore. Or you can move money to later down the road that was supposed to be geared towards this season. There's a lot of different strategies that each and every team uses. It's just a matter of, can it work within the scheme of the cap?
Right. Very good. And then to answer your question quickly, and then I'll let you go, is I think that the biggest free agent that we need to grasp is Dominic Hixon. I think we can get him cheap. I think he's one of the most athletic players. And to complement our receivers and our new tight end, I think would be dynamic.
All right, Dave. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. And Dominic Hixon's still on the market. I mentioned they brought in Lewis Murphy, and Hixon's a guy that can contribute also on special teams. And in addition to the name that Dave threw out, just want to look through your comments on Twitter. At Rob Nardone says Chase Blackburn is an option that the Giants should explore in terms of bringing back. Still need some solid linebacker options. Brandon Diggs, Kevin Booth to solidify the guard spot, two names that we certainly have brought up throughout the course of this show. We have numerous mentions of Kevin Booth and Victor Cruz, clearly. A question here from at GiantRB44. Do you think Cruz is concerned about Knicks and next year, and is that making the contract more difficult to get done? Well, I can't speak to Victor Cruz's thoughts in terms of whether he's concerned about Akeem Nix's situation. I think if you ask Victor Cruz, he's more concerned about his own personal situation. I think the Giants are concerned about Akeem Nix's situation. Not right now that they're making it a huge priority, but in terms of it's at the top of their list in how they approach free agency this season, meaning they know at this point next season they have to lock up Akeem Nix. So therefore, that is certainly impacting how they approach negotiations with Victor Cruz. You can't overlook that. You have to look down the road, even when you're thinking short term about the improvements you need to make to this team this season. Because if you lock up Victor Cruz, hypothetically, for 5 or 6 years, you need to make sure the finances work for 2013, but that they also leave you some room in 2014, 15, and beyond. Because Akeem Nix, assuming you're able to bring him back, is going to take up space in 2014, 15, and beyond. So you have to think about that when you approach free agency. I believe we have rounded up the phone calls, so we fit in everybody that we wanted to get to this morning. So certainly appreciate everyone chiming in and appreciate all the comments that you've thrown out on Twitter with respect to who you would like to see the Giants re-sign. Victor Cruz, just to recap the latest, negotiations will continue. Eli Manning, is Dave from Rochester, just called in, made the media rounds yesterday, and has vocally said he is willing to tweak his contract or restructure it to do everything possible from a financial perspective to make sure that Victor Cruz stays in a Giants uniform. So that, I think, is certainly a positive to take away. And the fact that Victor Cruz is a restricted free agent, teams need to throw out a first-round pick if they want to sign him. April 19th, the key date. Teams have until April 19th to make an offer to Victor Cruz. Beyond that, then it's really the Giants and Victor Cruz heading to the negotiating table to try to hammer out a deal. And Kevin Booth is another name, certainly, that the Giants are keeping their options open as to whether or not they can bring him back at that guard spot. A lot of comments on Twitter have said that it's going to be key to keep this offensive line solidified from a pass protection scheme and a running scheme so that they can not just pick up where they left off of last season, but basically improve. You want to get that running game going because that in turn is going to help the passing game and it's going to make the offense more fluid and more balanced. You know, time of possession is key in also helping your defense moving forward. If you eat up the clock and your offense is on the football field more so than your defense, you're helping your defense. That sometimes is your best defensive weapon. And that is something that I think the Giants entering this offseason are looking to make sure that they can shore up and fill some holes that they had throughout last season and even in the coming weeks. So appreciate everybody for chiming in on the conversation. Paul Dottino will take you through tomorrow's show. He has sacrificed, speaking of sacrifices, his morning jog tomorrow. So make sure that you call in, you throw out on Twitter, you compliment the fact that he really dug deep this week to tweak his schedule, give up his morning jog, push it to maybe the latter part of the afternoon, maybe the evening, and he will be taking your phone calls and giving his expert commentary on the New York Giants tomorrow. John Schmelk will be back next week. He's resting up the voice, getting ready for the weeks ahead. So once again, thanks everybody for chiming in on the conversation here on Big Blue Kickoff this morning. We will take you through the rest of the way here on Giants.com with Paul Dottino. And stay locked to Giants.com for all the latest. Also, you can vote through our draft challenge. In the spirit of March Madness, we have a special feature up on the website. Feel free to contribute to that. The votes are continuing to be tallied in the upcoming days. The top draft classes all time in Giants history. You can check that out on Giants.com and also on the mobile app. Lance Meadows signing off here for Big Blue Kickoff. We'll see you tomorrow once again at 10 a.m. Have a good one.